Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Wow, Travis, what kind of Cameron Hughes wine pairs with Charlie Sheen?
I'm going to say something that's going to make you blush.
Yeah, I'm going to say a blush because, wow, there's already some stuff, some questions that are going to make me blush. But let me just tell you about Cameron Hughes, Lot 639.
What's that?
Rosé. From
blush.
Arroyo Seco. Okay, just ask me how much.
Okay.
$13! I couldn't wait to tell you, I'm sorry.
You were a little excited about this rosé.
Listen, you go to Cameron Hughes' website, it just says, exceptional wine, extraordinary value, luxury wines for half the price.
I can see I'm looking at the website right now.
Do you need to know more? I don't think so. That's one of their new ones, by the way. How about a Lot 631 2017 Willamette Valley Pinot Gris for only $12?
Uh-oh.
What? A Grenache blend from Spain for only $12. Anything you like, you can find at chwine.com/Stephanie. Go do it now. See what I'm talking about? I have not tried a bad Chardonnay.
No, you love them. You try to make me drink them when I come over here.
Oh, wait, yeah, like you protest.
Enabler.
All right, Cameron Hughes, here's what he does. He goes all over the world, he finds the best wine out there, bottles it, always keeps his sources secret, so he passes all that savings direct onto you. No middleman, that means you save 40 to 80% of what you pay for the same wine at retail. All of my friends are buying their wine this way. If you're not, then you're just a dunce. Was that too harsh? I apologize.
You need to start ordering more wine this way.
Cameron Hughes Wine, all about what's inside the bottle. You will be blown away. Trust me, chwine.com/Stephanie, or text my name, Stephanie, that's S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E, to 511-511. Get 15% off. What? And free shipping with your minimum 3-bottle order. That's on top of the already unbelievable prices. 15% off, free shipping. Text Stephanie to 511-511, or go right to chwine.com/Stephanie. Hello, Charlie. Come on, everybody. Happy, happy hour. It's Charlie fucking Sheen.
I have a new middle name.
Well, you said the greatest thing that your dad, Martin Sheen, who's already done the podcast, said to you, if you took fuck out of your vocabulary.
I would be a mute.
That's fantastic. Yes. That's fantastic.
Okay. I could use that button at my house.
Do you need a button?
The applause button.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Just by myself, alone.
Stephanie can just carry her box around behind you and make that noise for you all the time.
That'd be terrific. Awesome.
All right. Where do I begin to tell the story of how great our love can be? We've already said, I'm for some odd reason, Travis, I am like the weird, like, special adopted child of the Sheen family. I don't even know how it happened, but you people.
That's nicest
people in the world.
Oh, wow.
Your dad, Martin, your mom, Janet, Emilio, your sister, Renee, who I just met, Ramon, who I just met, your dad's birthday party. Don't ask me how I got fucking him. Let's talk about the party. I don't know how I... Anyway, I'll be honest, you've heard all this. When they said, oh, it's at Charlie Sheen's house, I was like, wow. And I pictured that movie, you know, with... You know, Dudley Moore, where the, like, disco ball would come down and there'd be, you know.
Sure.
I just assumed with revolving blow and hookers and stuff, and I didn't. But you, first of all, are sober. B, are one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You are just like your dad and your brother and your mom.
Well, yeah. I mean, we all grew up under the same roof, so I guess it's contagious.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I had heard that nasty rumor about you from someone on West Wing. They said he's really nice.
Oh gosh,
he's always been really nice to me.
How dare he?
I said, what?
No, it's funny. People get invited to my house and they show up and they're like, wow, this place is really, really
classy
and there's like and organized and something all that
from,
and
from the Sistine Chapel on one wall.
Right, it's a Austrian castle actually.
Yes.
But it's funny. I imagine them rolling up thinking, you know, is there going to be anything left of the place? Where is the party going to happen? In the rubble?
Right. Like Animal House. That's what I figured.
Wow.
And it was, but here's the other thing I love about you and your family is, you know, Emilio had told me, like, it's a dry house. And I thought, like, oh, which was not good for my nerves with the people that were there. I was not expecting to find Al Pacino in your kitchen. However.
Right. There was that.
But I just love, I can't explain just how loving your family is with each other and how supportive and, you know, and everybody was, you know, I was like, oh, because you just were telling me up in the kitchen, you've been sober now for?
About 8 months and change.
8 months or so, yeah.
I don't refer to it as sober, though. I just say I quit drinking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The meetings I attend are at Amazon. How is that possible, you're wondering?
Amazon?
Amazon.com.
Really?
Yeah, and that's where I buy my chips. My monthly chip. So it's funny. There's some guy out there, like, because it's my name on the account. He's like, all right, Sheen's having a good run. Let's see how long this goes. So he's like my virtual sponsor through Amazon, you know?
Honestly, I don't even know where to start with you because I said to Travis, I only got through half of the great shit about you between watching, seriously, not just what an incredible actor you are, because I don't think I know anyone that does drama like Platoon, like Wall Street, with comedy like you have done, that is as funny as you are, that, you know, Hot Shots and Major League and, you know, Spin City and 2.5 Men. And so anyway, let's leave the blinding talent for a second, Charlie.
Okay. not a problem.
But I've said this to you, with your honesty, you've actually done a lot to save a lot of lives. Like, people were talking about when you came out and said, I have AIDS, it was like the highest number. They said he did more than any UN commission anyone's ever done for the amount of people that Googled it, the amount of people that got AIDS tested.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, it was actually called they called it the Charlie Sheen effect.
Yes.
Which was kind of interesting. Yeah, that was, I was shocked.
Yeah.
But inspired. If it took somebody of my social outreach to deliver the message, then maybe this disease finally found itself into the right body and mind. You know,
my high school boyfriend died of AIDS, so a lot of us of a certain age are, you know, it resonates a lot with us. And you have so many records, Guinness record for the fastest person ever to get to 1 million followers on Twitter. So no, your effect is enormous. And
thank you.
And I said this, Travis, remember on the show, right after I met Charlie, which I didn't know what to expect, and I thought, oh my God, he's as fucking nice as his father and his brother and his mother. But also
they raised him right.
But also that, like, this came out right after Demi Lovato, and she put out a very emotional, like, resonant thing about her battle with addiction. And I said the same thing. I said, A, he is so nice. When you meet not the tabloid creation, but the human being, Charlie Sheen, and then you hear about his battles and his struggles, and I feel like real people can relate to that, and it is saving lives, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, that's the hope, you know.
Yeah.
As the technology with the treatment improves, hopefully that'll lead to a cure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be the poster guy, you know, but I'm also not going to shy from it. So there's I think there's something in the middle.
You know? You don't want that to define you, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Because
you got a lot of notes over there.
I have time to get. I do.
You may have the longest IMDb and Wikipedia we've ever seen.
Wow, that's banana.
But I just, this one story, just, I thought, it's so emblematic of how just sort of genetically nice you guys are as a family. It's when, because Emilio, when I was able to get in, you know, my favorite joke ever, in a Happy Hour podcast, yes, when he was dating, or he was married to, excuse me, Paula Abdul. And I said, now straight up, now tell me, did you think it was really going to last forever? Now, which I enjoyed. He may not have, Charlie. But is that, my point
is that the title of one of her songs?
Yes.
Yes,
got
Charlie.
It. Got it.
Yes. This is why this threads to this story.
Not totally familiar with her music.
So, don't know her catalog.
You said I
no, she was nice enough, though. She was always nice to me.
That's what you said.
Until I
was,
asked for...
I'm not really familiar with her music. We had a party at my at the house for my sister Renee, who's also incredibly nice, and my dad. And my dad said, Charlie, put on some Paula Abdul. I don't own any of her records. So I replied, I've been playing them so much, they're all worn out. They scratch and skip all over the place. It would be an embarrassment. Paula didn't buy it for an instant.
Wow. That's fabulous. That's a direct quote of mine?
Yes. That's, yes. It might have been during the goddess period. It's
some period.
Are you going to sue Donald Trump for stealing winning from you? Because that was yours, goddammit.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. It's amazing that term, that that phrase, that quote is still used. I don't know that you can trademark or copyright a word. You know, I think Paris Hilton did it, didn't she? No, it was a phrase.
I don't know.
That's hot.
Yes, I think she tried to do that. She did try to do that.
Let me just say, you were doing more winning even during that period than he has been doing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Well, you said to me, you were like, oh, I'm not as political as my dad, my brother. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. You're Charlie fucking Sheen.
Well, it's hard not to be political these days. Thank you for that. It's hard not to be these days based on just what happens, like, just hour to hour.
Yes.
It's not even day to day or week to week
anymore.
That's
what I told you.
It's hour to hour.
I couldn't get through all of the amazing stories about you because of all the bullshit that Trump has done today. So I blame Trump
released a new
for
tape.
Everything.
Yeah, do we? Is it, have they played it? Have they played the new tape?
She played on MSNBC this morning. It was her and Lara
Trump offering her the payoff not to shut up after she. I don't. It's just somebody wrote a piece, Charlie, like Omarosa is the hero we deserve, that America deserves in 2018. If she saves us, that's fine.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know, who would have thought? Real show villain, huh?
Yes. Wow.
Well, how many people have you heard say what you've said to your dad? Like, why can't President Bartlett really be president?
Oh, I've heard that thousands of times. Yeah. Yeah. Even Kiefer Sutherland recently on Designated Survivor.
Yeah.
Was a president with a conscience and a heart.
Oh,
and
you played a president in something. I'm like, yes, Charlie Sheen. Yeah, better as president would be more actual winning.
Yes, it was in Machete.
Machete,
yeah,
Kills.
The sequel. Yes,
we all know that.
I give Machete his mission, and in one day in the Oval Office, I was handling a machine gun. I had four women in my bed, and I put a hit on a guy.
So this was a lot of acting work for you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Having the four women. Yeah. That must have been, wow.
But who knew that kind of presidential behavior these days now would seem tame? You can hit that button again.
Right.
The rim shot.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, Charlie Sheen.
Nice.
But, there's so much about your life that is sort of so, like, it relevant to what's going on today. You talked about, I can relate to Roseanne Barr's tone of absolute despair following her tweet. You said, I can relate to that. It's not just about herself. It's about the people she knows she affected as well. And you were talking about your whole 2.5 men experience.
Sure.
And this was the whole... Can I just say, the amount you drank... My friend, you do have tiger blood. I got to say, what the fuck? Wow, that is... You have some tiger blood.
Well, one of the good news moments about me not drinking is that there's actually some left for everyone else.
There's no shortage.
There's no shortage, yes. Yes.
Wow, make me feel much better about myself. You were like, you said there was a period you drank a bottle of bourbon and something before you could even leave, or you were up to how much... Bottle of vodka a day? How?
It was a lot.
Yeah, all right.
It was a
it's
lot.
Not important now.
Yeah. But I see people doing what they describe as drinking, and I say that's not drinking. That's sipping. Sipping. There's two things I want to add or point out. The thing about it being a dry party at my house, that was not by my design.
Oh, okay.
No, and I told my mom, I said, if people want to bring a bottle of wine, you should let them,
Because no, I think out of respect to you, nobody wanted to or nobody did.
No, I didn't.
I mean, I went home and put a fucking wine helmet on just because I had to deal with the fact that I had just met Jane Fonda, Lawrence Fishburne, and Al Pacino.
In the same.
In addition to you and Martin Sheen and the entire cast of The West Wing. So I had some stress to...
And Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
No, but I've just never been that guy if I'm not doing something to prevent others from...
Yeah.
From enjoying
no, no.
it. You know?
No, no, no. I hear you. Yeah. No, I asked you, is that okay if I have, you know...
Please.
Okay. I know. Travis was even afraid. Everyone calls this my crack popcorn. And he was like, don't call it that. I'm like, Charlie has a great sense of humor. I can call it that.
Absolutely.
It's okay if he gets addicted to my popcorn.
There's not actual crack cocaine in your popcorn.
It's like he's
a
fucking snowflake.
Yeah, thank you.
Look at him.
Thank you.
Fucking badass, man. Platoon.
Thank oh, thank you.
Wait a minute. Wait, okay. I don't even know where to start. So I think you told me this at the party that... So you're on the set of Apocalypse Now. I mean, we can't even begin to envision your childhood. And you were an extra in Apocalypse Now. How old were you?
No, Emilio was an extra. I actually lied on my first resume that I put together that I was in Apocalypse. But having spent 8 months on the set in the Philippines.
It's close enough to
end. That was your
Apocalypse Now. As a 10-year-old, I earned the right to lie about being an extra at the Dolong Bridge, you know.
But it turned... I mean, traumatic for a number of reasons. Your dad had a heart attack.
He did.
On Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
So what... And he took the family so you guys could all be together?
Yeah, yeah.
So, scary, right?
It was very scary. Yeah, because when we left, because we'd go home for a little bit and then go back to the Philippines. When we left, he was perfectly healthy. You know, he was vibrant, young, tan, awesome, and getting ready to kill Brando. And then we came back when we heard there was...
Most of us can relate to that.
Yeah, right.
What the fuck?
When we came back and we heard he'd had a thing with exhaustion or stress. He greeted us at the hotel walking with a cane.
Yeah.
And it was just not... It just wasn't dad, you know?
Yeah.
So he had about a month off to recover and what have you. So Francis put a projector in his room and gave him a bunch of comedies just to kind of laugh himself back to health.
For normal people, that would be Francis Ford Coppola.
Sorry,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I met Larry, Lawrence Fishburne.
That would be Lawrence Fishburne for those of us.
Stephanie's not so blasé when she names Rops.
I had not seen Lawrence in a very long time.
You
know what's interesting about that party is...
everything?
Start there. No, it's not lost on me because I'm trying to sell the house, which is fine. Your mom doesn't want you to.
Yeah, I
know.
About it.
I know. But
I don't know why I'm in the family
not,
now.
She's
Your
not,
mom? Okay.
She's not living there with all that upkeep,
fine.
You know.
Okay, fine.
Just too many rooms, not enough people. You know, it's just me and Jules.
I'll be there every night if you want.
Cool.
And wait, Jules is your smoking hot girlfriend?
Yes, she is. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Malcolm and Nance, we were all sitting having dinner, and Malcolm says, what do you do? She's like, I'm a model. And I was like, Malcolm, did you think there was another answer to that question? Look at her. You can't look at her without, like, special glasses. Like,
oh, thank you. She'll be
cute and
to hear
funny
that.
And right?
No, she's,
and wants to be an undercover spy under Malcolm Nance's
which
direction.
Which would be amazing.
Which I think would be fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were very cute. You were like, well, we both need a full-time job.
Yes. I wasn't
We'll
joking,
do it.
But,
we said,
but now we
Mr.
can't.
And Mrs. Smith?
Now that we've outed ourselves
on
the radio.
Oh, sorry. I ruined it. I ruined it for you, Charlie. I'm sorry.
Sorry. But it's not lost on me that what could be the final party at my house is one that I went to bed early in the middle of. And
with Al Pacino in the kitchen.
Pacino and Dad closed the joint.
Yeah.
That's a pretty amazing way to end that whole run.
I was leaving,
and
I did kind of a, you know, just like a U-turn. And I just, like, right in Malcolm Nance's face, I was like, Al Pacino's in the kitchen. Okay, we're not leaving yet. Okay. So, and I felt like Richard Schiff and Bradley Whitford both screamed like little girls, too. Like, it wasn't like I was the only one that was freaked out that Al Pacino was in the kitchen.
Well, when he finally came outside into the backyard, it was like he was at the Cannes Film Festival with all the photography suddenly taking place. You know, I felt kind of bad for him, and then I felt stupid that I didn't jump in a photo.
Your mom told me earlier we're sitting talking. She's like, "Well, I'm not sure. I think Al might be coming." I was like, "Beep beep, Al."
Gore.
Don't. Oh, Pacino shirt. And she mom actually goes, "You know him, right?" I was like. No, not in any universe.
Wow.
How would I know Pacino? I work in my basement. What? Okay.
Actually, so, I,
and
I,
then, There was a, you guys had a smoking circle. Lawrence Fishburne and his kind of, I don't know, he looked like he was teaching a Tai Chi class with you and Emilio and Bradley Whitford and Richards. You were like in a circle.
Yes.
I think you were smoking.
Yes.
But Lawrence Fishburne looked like he was teaching Tai Chi because he was in like a red jumpsuit of some sort.
He's figured out a way to, in a very classy delivery to wear pajamas out in the world.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
A lot of favorite moments. He walked in and Jane Fonda stuck out her hand and said, "Hi, I'm Jane Fonda." And I said, "I think he knows."
Yeah, how about that? But Jane does
that
thing.
I love that she's as insecure as all the rest of us.
But she's doing that thing in case somebody has a brain freeze.
Right.
And doesn't remember.
Well, Richard Schiff's son said, he was talking to your dad and me, and he said, "Now, is that the lady with the monkeys?" And your dad said, "I think you're thinking of Jane Goodall."
Wow.
And I was like, don't say the monkey thing to her. But he did, and she laughed.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a generational thing. He's a kid. He didn't know, you know. He's a smart kid.
Yeah, he is. He is a very smart kid.
He is very
smart. Just ask him.
As,
he'll tell
you. As is Richard. I know.
Yeah. I love Richard.
Yeah.
Richard's the best.
He's the greatest. Yeah. Oh, my God. No, I was the level of achievement in that room. Just levels of Oscars and Emmys and whatever. That was a little, little daunting. Okay.
It was exciting.
Weren't you talking about the year once?
Hmm?
Weren't you like talker of the year once?
No.
Oh.
Okay. Anyway, I was never anything once.
Well, you're in your top 20 radio personalities.
Whatever. Like, listen, Charlie.
Some voting.
Sure.
Thing,
sure.
Right. I just I was doing a little research this morning also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
That's kind of hot. We were researching each other.
Yes, we were.
Really. Safe search off, Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
By the way, there is no safe search off. Listen, let's so. Okay, I don't know why you guys, but Charlie Sheen stories give me the munchies. Here's what I'm thinking of making from Sunbasket.
What you got?
Okay. Do you understand? This is like a party for me. My friend Karen and my friend Bill came over, and we did all this together. It is all ready for us. It's so simple, though. You can do it by yourself. You want to know what I made?
What'd you make?
Thai turkey salad with cabbage, basil, and cashews.
Wait, that sounds really good.
OMG. Chicken shawarma salad with pita chips and lemon tahini dressing. Yeah,
I did.
Wait,
do you make that all yourself?
Yeah. Well, this time, I did it with friends, and it was a party. It was a party. It was a disco. It was everything. And are you ready for the last one?
Yeah.
Chicken chow mein with stir-fried vegetables. OMG.
Seriously? That's
really
amazing.
Healthy, all like clean, all the best ingredients. I'm telling you, organic produce, clean ingredients delivered right to your door. Ding dong. Hi, who's there? Sunbasket. Okay. Healthy cooking, easy, convenient for any busy lifestyle. Yeah, you can use your apps, you can order in, but this is fresh, it's delicious. You get all those great like cooking smells in your house. Sunbasket always makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy. I have the quick and easy meal plan because, you know, I'm not such a great cook on my own.
And you don't have time watching all this news.
Right? Each quick and easy recipe designed to take about 20 minutes to prepare. Sunbasket works with the absolute best farms and suppliers to bring you fresh organic produce, responsibly sourced meats, seafood. They offer paleo, gluten-free, lean and clean, vegan, Mediterranean options, anything you want. They got 18 weekly recipes, right? Variety, healthy, delicious. Go to sunbasket.com/Miller today to learn more and get $35 off your first order. What?
That's ridiculous.
Yes! Sunbasket.com/Miller for $35 off. Sunbasket. Sunbasket.com/Miller. Yum, 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 yum. Well, still summer, Travis. You know what that means. I'm going to switch to a Cameron Hughes Chardonnay for dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm. Sounds lovely.
You know what Chardonnay Lot 595 and Chardonnay Lot 594 Cameron Hughes are like for me? They're like children. They're like two children that I can't decide. I love both of them equally.
It's like a Sophie's Choice.
Right. Yeah, well, that's highly inappropriate, but 2016 Russian River Valley Lot 595 Chardonnay, $18, is a double gold medal winner. San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition, 90 points. But, oh, look at you, Lot 594. Mommy loves you just as much. 2016 Carneros Chardonnay, only $16. That's the first Carneros Chardonnay since the 2013 vintage that Cameron Hughes has done. And Mommy loves you both equally.
They're both special in their own way.
Yes, they certainly are. They're both buttery and delicious, and Mommy loves you both.
Mommy's going to drink you up and put her in your tummy.
Stop me when this gets weird. But Cameron Hughes Wine, the number one wine brand online, for a very simple reason. Luxury wine, half price. That's all you need to know. He keeps his sources secret, and that's how he delivers you 40 to 80% off what you would pay for the same wine at retail. It is a miracle. It's a miracle in a glass. Cameron Hughes Wine, all about what is inside the bottle. No fancy labels, no fat, flashy website. He stands behind and guarantees 100% of every bottle of wine. Why? Because his name's on the bottle.
Makes sense.
That's why this show is so quality, because my name is on it. Or don't go by that example.
Are you comparing wine to your show?
He has a higher work ethic than I do. Go to chwine.com/Stephanie or text my name, Stephanie, to 511-511. You get 15% off the already amazing deals and free shipping with your minimum 3-bottle order. That's 15% off and free shipping. Just text Stephanie to 511-511. Go see the wonder, chwine.com/Stephanie. Now, let's talk about... Anyway, I don't even know where to start about talking about relating to Roseanne Barr, because, you know, you've been through this period too, and then you made the classiest statement I think I've ever seen. I don't know. God damn it, Charlie, you have a goddamn Golden Globe and Emmys and all that shit too. You said something.
I don't have any Emmys. Emmys.
You made this most like gracious thing about Two and a Half Men, about wishing them well, and they're going to go on to make great TV. And it was incredibly classy and gracious.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
Your whole family. But you were talking about just this whole period of your life. You said there was a time. Oh, here it is. I just wanted to get the. There was a time I couldn't leave the house till I smoked 3 joints, taken tranquilizers, and drank a bottle of bourbon. God damn, that's tiger blood. That is
a lot. That's a lot.
Towards the end, I drank two or three bottles of vodka a day. Okay, there it is.
That's a lot.
Wow.
That is too much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I'm still here to tell the story.
It is.
You know.
But the world needs your light, and seriously, I don't mean to be a suck up, as Travis sometimes accuses me of being.
All the time.
But you have saved a lot of lives. Like, this is why I love what you said at one point. You said, my father gave me some pretty bad advice. Keep it honest, which I did. People ask, why am I so honest with the press? They call me the last honest man in Hollywood, but I care what people think. We all do. And so you've just... All of your stuff is out there, you know? I mean, it's all... Because I thought, like, before the thing, I wanted to go, is there anything you don't want me to... And you're like, no, it's okay. Because you've talked about it all. I mean, you've talked about the drug and alcohol abuse and the you know, all that whole period. Tell us about that period, because that's the thing everybody thinks of, is the, you know, getting fired from Two and a Half Men and the, you know, Chuck Lorre thing, and then that was the whole Tiger Blood winning. Wait, somebody needs to name a band after the, what was it, the Warlord? That was my favorite thing. I'm a warlord, I'm a rock star from Mars.
A warlock.
Warlock.
Yes.
And a rock star from Mars.
Yeah, I don't know where all that stuff came from. It was just one of those moments in time. I had a conversation with a gentleman whose identity I've kept a secret all these years, and he put some things in my head just the day before that 2020 piece that I did, and he mentioned things like Tiger Blood and Adonis DNA and winning. And so, what's so strange, looking back on it all, or trying to find some aspect to it that makes any sense. None of it really does. It's almost like a possession. But what's really odd is I wasn't loaded during any of that any of that meltdown or melt forward, as I like to call it.
Yeah, sure. It was a melt forward.
Yes. Yeah. It was kind of progressive. but I was doing a lot of testosterone cream.
Huh?
So I was working out a lot, and I was probably doing too much. And then I found out later that it metabolizes and turns into a steroid in your system. So I think the whole thing was fueled by a roid rage.
I was going to say, I would never have figured you for someone with any kind of lack of testosterone.
I know. Like, I needed that. But yeah, everybody thinks
how many women would you say you've had sex with?
I have no idea.
Put it in the hundreds. Okay, that's not important now. But wow, testosterone. Okay,
that's what was driving that whole thing, and it was a culmination of just being frustrated for a very long time. It wasn't even really about Two and a Half Men. It wasn't about Chuck. It wasn't about that whole experience. It was just everything just came to a head.
Yeah.
I suddenly felt like I'd never been heard. Like, I was always, saying somebody else's words, wearing somebody else's clothes, and being told how to do both, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just one of those moments where, I just said, you know, this is slight representation of who I think what I think a part of me really is.
Yeah.
And it kind of got away from me.
Yeah.
I kind of left the reservation on that one, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, brother.
but it was interesting because it turned into such a battle cry, such a rally cry for so many people.
Yeah.
You know. They just embraced it and harnessed it and.
Yeah.
Jumped inside that trade wind. And I still get people in the street, you know. Thanks for making me feel alive again, brother.
Well, I think people are just not used to so much honesty. And I think that that's what's so empowering to other people is they're sort of like, because, you know, how many millions and millions of people have struggled with drug and alcohol stuff? And,
sure.
You know, you just sort of put it all out there. I mean, that's the difference. Like, Donald Trump, he's just a fucking liar. And you're almost like the 180-degree opposite. You are so honest. You're like, yes, I like porn stars. I like hookers. I've done this. I've done that. You've never lied about anything. I mean, you just sort of go, you know, this has been my struggle. This is my life.
So much of it was out in the open. So if I hadn't, confirmed... opposed to denying it, which just would have looked stupid.
Right.
It would look like obstruction of justice, like Donald Trump is doing.
There's that. Yeah.
Right. You've never obstructed justice, Charlie Sheen.
I don't think
that's
I
what
have.
I love about you best.
I don't really, I mean, not intentionally, you know.
I mean, I just look at your resume, Platoon, Wall Street, With Your Dad, of course, Young Guns, Eight Men Out, Hot Shots, Major League, Three Musketeers, replaced Michael J. Fox in Spin City before Two and a Half Men, Anger Management on FS. Highest paid actor on television ever at $1.8 million. That was a week now, Charlie? A week?
No, it was, I think it's
per episode,
it was,
sure.
It was
yeah.
1.8.
Yeah, you can't live on that.
No.
No.
You got to nip and tuck here and
sure,
there.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah. Gotta cut down on your Van Goghs. Now.
Cut down on your Van Goghs. That's fabulous. I'm using that.
But so, I think a lot of people cannot imagine your life and also, honestly, I mean, just your degree of talent. I feel like sometimes, like they say, that people to fly closest to the sun. You know, I mean, just early on, just from your every platoon and your sort of like success and everything, just became, I would think, overwhelming even for you.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Extremely. Yes. Yeah. It was a lot. You know. I'm not saying I would trade it. I would. You know. Give advice to my younger self to enjoy it more and not be fueled or ruled by greed or fear.
Now I feel like Barbara Walters. And what would you say to young Charlie Sheen, older Charlie Sheen? What would you say?
Just enjoy it more. Enjoy it more. You know. No, I mean I was in New York shooting Wall Street. When Platoon won Best Picture.
Yeah.
I was 21.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Wow.
It was a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
And you talked about, at that period, how heavily you were drinking and out till dawn and whatever, and you're like, I got to get up and go toe-to-toe with Michael Douglas and carry half a scene. And you did it, which is why you have Tiger Blood. And let's just go back to that. Seriously, how did you do that? I mean, how do you, you know...
I think just youth and sheer will.
Yeah.
But when it gets to the point where when the movie that you're working on is hampering or impeding your ability to have fun, yeah,
sure.
It's you've kind of got it backwards, you know. The mistake I made was never giving myself enough time between projects to enjoy any time off. Everything was so back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah.
And if I was going to be, you know, running it at both ends, I would carve out those moments. And,
yeah.
And they were just happened to be in the middle of stuff that that mattered more.
Yeah.
You know?
So, okay. Good God, there's like, this happy hour will be the first 7-hour one. I hope you've blocked out some time for us.
I have indeed, yes.
But, you know, Emilio told us this about, you know, when he was here for the happy hour, about, again, starting from your childhood, that you guys made, like, what were they called then?
Super 8.
Super 8 movies.
Yes, oh yeah.
which all of ours sucked, but yours, of course, starred you and Emilio Estevez and Sean Penn.
And Chris Penn and Rob and Jad Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
So
I think that was the training ground.
Yeah.
You know, we were in Ireland. I think I was 5 or 6. My dad was doing a job there, and my mom bought us a Super 8 camera.
Yeah.
And she expected us to be filming the countryside, you know.
Right.
The landmarks. And we were doing, like right from Jump Street, like murder mysteries and kidnappings.
Yeah.
And just, like, really cool, fun stuff. I mean, look at the sets we'd been growing up on with Dad, you know.
Yeah.
We were heading into Badlands.
Yeah.
Not the Badlands.
Yeah, I understand.
The movie,
I know.
You know?
I know the reference.
So we were in and around a lot of fictional violence and intrigue and thrill.
Yeah.
And we were just trying to recreate it on our smaller scale.
You know? Now, Emilio said you guys fought a lot. Now, did you get more or less fistfights than the Baldwin brothers, would you say?
We only had 2, and he won both of them.
Oh.
They were kind of sucker punches.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, but, we may have to have Emilio back to counter that.
We had a fight so bad one night that the cops showed up.
Emilio told us this
story.
Did he talk
to you about that? Yeah.
I want to hear your side of it, though.
One of the Baldwins hit Mrs. Baldwin with a fireplace poker by accident because they were trying to hit one of the other ones. But whatever. Go ahead.
Did it fly across the room?
I don't know.
Which
I don't know
Baldwin
the details.
Attacked which Baldwin?
You know, it's hard to...
I'm going to blame Steven.
It's hard to say.
You're blaming
Steven,
really?
They're all the same. I don't mean to be racist. I don't mean to be Baldwinist, but they're all the same.
Isn't Steven's daughter... isn't she engaged to somebody?
Oh, is that the one dating Justin Bieber?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize...
Didn't they get engaged?
There was a Baldwin and a Beaver.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's
fantastic.
His daughter.
All right, let's go back
if
to
I'm
your
wrong,
fistfights.
I apologize to the whole Baldwin clan.
Let's go back to
your
that,
version of the,
to that sneaky Emilio, who we've totally turned on now because he sucker punched you, that
he
motherfucker.
No, he just he kind of karate chopped me in the neck when I wasn't looking.
Sure,
you know?
He did that to me.
That's his move. No, but it never got really physical.
Right.
You know, we had these things, this thing called room wars, and I would lock myself in his room, and he'd lock himself in mine, and we would destroy, like, the other guy's most favorite thing, you know? Like
More damage than you did at that hotel in New York, which I believe was $7,000, which I gotta
that
say.
That was so weak.
Man, give that it was, up, man.
I know,
$7,000 damage, man. That is... Wow.
No, there were a few rock and rollers that reached out to me and said, dude, nice try.
Nice try.
Yeah. you know, for the record, I think I was dosed that night.
Yeah, sure.
I think I was, seriously.
What does that mean?
Like someone put something in my drink.
Oh.
Yeah.
Roofing. Okay.
Yeah, because right. That was, wow. That one was other level.
Yeah.
I woke up in paper clothes in a hospital.
Oh.
And did
that's
not
bad.
Know... how I got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad.
I got dosed once in a
what?
Long time ago. It's scary.
It's very scary.
Yeah.
Isn't
you
it?
Yeah. Don't realize what's happening. You wake up and you're like, where am I? What is my name and what am I doing?
Yeah. It's yeah.
Wait, what did you say when you won a Golden Globe? You said this is like
a sober acid trip.
A sober acid trip.
Yes. Yeah. But I also got to say, what I should point out, I haven't done drugs in a long time, but whenever I wound up in rehab back in the day, it was always for a bunch of drugs. Never heroin. I was never a heroin guy.
Yeah.
That was a whole different crowd, you know.
But that's what you said. Like, I thought, oh, I'm not an addict. There's no needle in my arm, even though I'm done.
Yeah, that was wrong. that doesn't track. But I would always make fun of the people.
Not those kind of tracks.
Right.
Right. Sorry.
I'd always make fun of the people in rehab just for drinking, you know.
Right.
And so I figured, yeah, you know, I don't do drugs anymore. I'm just going to drink. And now I realize that
that's true addiction.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, the night's going great. And it's always that one extra drink that just everything just kind of turns. And then
you mean that third bottle of vodka.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. It's that third one.
It's always the killer.
And for me, it's not, you know, it's not getting yelled at the next day by somebody I insulted. It's like getting the phone call for the depot I have to attend. So I just figured, you know what? Forget health. This shit's gotten expensive.
Can you?
You know?
Tell us about the goddess period. What?
I don't know what the hell that was.
What was that?
I don't know. I wanted to give them a label before the media did. And,
do you have any spare ones I could date? Is there anybody?
No, it's just me and Jules.
Oh.
It's just me and Jules.
Okay.
And that's totally cool. I'm totally fine and happy with that.
Been married three times, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you want to do it again?
She has no interest in marriage or kids.
Yeah.
You know, I got five kids. And
you have five. I know, and you're a granddad.
Three grandchildren.
Holy shit. Charlie Sheen's a grandfather.
And if you're over three.
Madonna turned 60 today.
I
saw
that.
Taping this.
Yeah, she looked great.
I know.
Good for her. Good for her. I met her. I actually met her when I was 16.
Of course, you did, Charlie Sheen.
No, I was best friends with the late, great Chris Penn.
Yeah.
And so we came home after a late night. At 16, it wasn't a crazy late night, you know.
Yeah.
And Sean came in right after us.
You mean before classes started? That was like a normal.
Pretty much. No, it was during the summer.
Okay.
And Sean came in with this gorgeous young lady, and she had a very specific style to her attire.
Yes.
And he introduced her, and he said, "Hey, assholes! Hey, Charlie, Chris, this is Madonna." And we were like, "Oh, hey, nice to meet you."
Yeah, what's with the one name bullshit?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Who do you think you are, Cher?
Right.
Or Omarosa.
And then after that, it was, boom, it was on.
Wow.
You know?
Wow. Okay. So, because the other thing, when in Major League, for instance, you were a baseball star in high school, Santa Monica High.
And I don't know if I was a star.
Well, yes, I'm going to say that.
I made the team, and I had decent skills, you know, I was able to compete.
But you said all actors want to be athletes and all athletes want to make movies. That's probably true. Right?
It is kind of true. I'm a big fan of stick to what you know.
Yeah.
Stick to what you know.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, Michael Jordan. You're not a baseball player.
Yeah, I mean, good for him for giving it a shot.
Sure.
But,
sure.
I think he was too
tall. And Donald
tall.
Trump would give him politics a shot. That's a good try, but you know what? Time to go home.
Boom.
So wait, you're not at all political, but it must be hard around your dad and Emilio who are
I'm political
activists.
Extremely, I'm political enough to have a sense of what's going on and how to filter through all the bullshit, you know.
Right.
I
as someone that's so I mean seriously, you are like what's the word for the opposite of Donald Trump? Like the art he's the Right, if there was a movie, he's the anti-Donald Trump. He's the most honest man in the world. Donald Trump is the biggest fucking liar ever.
There's no collusion, no obstruction of justice going on over
right.
here.
Right. You must be the same as us when you watch him on TV. It's, oh, bullshit.
Yeah, I've done experiments just in the past few months, not starting my day with the news, just to see how I feel, how the mood in the house is. It's a lot more serene. It's a lot more serene. Yeah. I check the updates and in case there's a nuke strike going on. But
speaking of which, we had Leah Thompson on Happy Hour a few weeks ago.
Love her.
And we talked about how fucking weird it is that you guys were home at Red Dawn and Russia's attacking again.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally right? I mean,
Yeah. I think the anniversary of the opening was just last week of Red Dawn. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you've heard all of these questions before. We've already slobbered all over Emilio about Men at Work, but because love it. But do you, I mean, is it hard to have, like, everyone asks, do you have a favorite or what's your favorite, you know, experience making a movie? I mean,
I have favorite experiences. Yeah. The most fun I've had on a film was Musketeers.
Okay.
Because we were in Vienna. All of us just in a really good time in our lives and in history. And we were just getting hammered the night before and the next morning.
That's so surprising.
Just throwing on tunics and storming the castle, you know. On the film, I think, turned out decent.
Well, you know, my favorite thing, because I just love goofy shit and I love the Zucker Brothers. And so the fact that you were like... crazy talented serious actor guy Platoon Wall Street that you know you were in Hot Shots and right
and the
Scary
sequel,
Movie
yeah.
and Major League all these like you know that's the thing is like plus you have such a deadpan you just don't see like that coming that you were so funny that you're able I really honestly feel like you're one of the very few actors that is a crazy serious amazing actor that is also crazy funny and able to do but I mean that style of comedy
oh, well,
the sitcom Zucker Brothers movie kind of comedy
I saw, thank you. I saw Airplane with Emilio in Westwood at the Avco. No, I'm sorry, at the Fox. And on a Friday night, and it just changed the way we felt about the world forever. And so people say, you know, how did you pull it off in the Hot Shots thing and all that? And I was just totally borrowing from Leslie Nielsen. You know,
that's what you remind me of, Leslie Nielsen, because you have
ripping,
that face,
ripping,
you know?
Him off like at every turn. And then I got to work with him on Scary Movie. You know.
Yeah.
And there's one moment where he comes in, and it wasn't even in the script or didn't wind up in the movie. And this was just done as, a gift for me. He just he opens the door out of nowhere and he says, I want you to know, we're all counting on you. And I was like, that just happened. Wow. It was such a full circle moment to have seen that as a child.
And then
be on the receiving end of it as an adult and as an actor.
It does not surprise.
Just bizarre.
That does not surprise me that that's what you modeled it on, because that's what he was known as, the serious actor.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it was so goddamn funny, and why you were so goddamn funny.
Thank you.
In those movies, because you were like, it's serious Charlie Sheen. That's like... Yeah.
But you know, I've told people that I kind of stumbled into the comedy, but there's, you know, I've also thought that maybe the dramatic stuff was an accident, and the comedy was always there.
Yeah,
so I've always had
a natural at sitcoms that's it would make you think that you were so brilliant in sitcoms as well, that you go, not a lot of actors can make that transition. Like, I can't. Your dad and brother are both amazing actors, and I sort of can't see them doing even the same things that you've done.
Again, just playing the straight man. You know?
Although your dad did a really funny thing in his birthday speech about breaking up with Sam Waterston and begging Jane Fonda to come back.
That was very funny.
It was very funny.
Yeah, dad is very funny. That's where we all get our humor. And mom, you know.
Yeah, they are.
Well, mom's where you get your swearing from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so wait, I don't know where to go next. Can I just ask, I have another question.
Okay.
You accidentally shot your fiance Kelly Preston in the arm?
No, that never happened. She accidentally discharged a weapon near herself in a bathroom. My mistake was leaving this tiny single action North American Arms 22 long in my back pocket on the scale.
Sure.
So she was going to weigh herself and was on the toilet and moved my pants. It fell out of my back pocket, hit the floor.
Okay.
Fired around through the toilet and hit her with shrapnel. That's exactly what happened. But But it's a trip. You hear stories about people going into shock and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just their mind just suddenly not, computing things properly. I'm downstairs making coffee, and I've been around weapons and in movies and life and whatever for long enough, and so I know what a gunshot sounds like versus somebody, slamming a door or whatever. And I knew it was a gunshot, and I thought, oh gosh, she's killed herself. It's been that bad with me that she killed herself. So I come around the corner, and she's at the top of the stairs, stark naked, holding her wrist above her head and covered in blood. And I'm like, oh geez. So I get her stabilized, and I pick up the phone to call for help.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether to call 911 or 411. And it was that moment, just my brain locked. And she says, 911, you moron, 911. I'm like, I got it. You're in great hands.
See, that's what happened. Bill Shatner called Priceline. No, he didn't. That's terrible. That is terrible. Okay. Okay.
It's funny how a story will get kind of,
turned over the
years.
Okay, wait a minute. Speaking of knowing gunshots and whatever.
You have the
most amazing story.
Have any weapons anymore.
No, I'm
no longer a gun guy.
Oh, no. I frisked you. I mean, I called it a hug, but I frisked you when you came in.
I can tell.
But this is the most amazing story. So your dad filled Apocalypse Now in the Philippines.
Right.
That's where you filled Platoon.
10 years later.
Yes.
And narrated it.
And your dad obviously had the heart attack, almost died.
Right.
You almost fell out of a helicopter saved at the last second by Keith David, the actor?
David, yes. Yeah, King.
Wow. I mean, you were falling out of, in a scene, you were falling out of the helicopter.
I was, yeah.
Oh,
it was pretty hairy. It's pretty hairy. But no, the odds of someone's son going back to the same place to do a film about the same conflict.
Where you're narrating.
And narrate it. Yeah. It's just... But I refuse to allow people to put Platoon in the same sentence with Apocalypse. Apocalypse is hands down the single greatest film ever made, ever. There were no computers.
Yeah, your mom showed me your screening room in your house. She's like, we've watched Apocalypse Now here a few times. I'm like, yeah, sure. Yeah, me too, and mine.
Well, the thing about Apocalypse is every time you see it, something new is revealed. You
know? Yeah.
It's pretty stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think people that don't understand Apocalypse don't really understand life.
I mean, the fact that you...
Trump should watch Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yes. Fucking... He may interpret it wrong.
Coward motherfucker.
Wow.
Sorry.
She has very strong feelings about him.
Well, you know, Bill Maher had a description of him that I thought kind of nailed it. He says, you know, even in the Republican years, we've grown accustomed to and dealt with, the Bushes and all of that. He says, but then along comes this virus from outer space. And I thought, my man. Nailed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a virus from outer space.
He really is.
Yeah.
He really is. It's hard to digest it every day.
That shade of orange doesn't just naturally happen on Earth.
It can't. It just can't.
You've said so many amazing things. You talk about speaking of filming that. You said usually in a battle sequence when a bomb's going off, you forget you're acting. Yeah.
But I don't have any reference.
Right.
I don't know why I would say that.
Right.
I don't have any perspective on being in actual battle.
Yeah. But, okay, so but that was not your only near-death experience. You had a drug overdose you talked about. You were found in your home by a friend. You had to have your stomach pumped. You've been up right up to the line in terms of, you know, that kind of fear. That's like twice that I count, at least, that you feel like you've been this close to death.
Sure.
What does that do for you? What does that do for your perception about things?
What does it do? Makes me not want to have those experiences anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
there's so many freaking ways to die accidentally that it's probably smart to quit poking that bear. You know.
Well, you also talked about again when you came out as having HIV positive. You said I wanted to eat a bullet when I first heard it, and yet your disclosure corresponded with the greatest number, as I mentioned, of HIV related Google searches ever recorded in the United States.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of astounding. A later study found Sheen's disclosure corresponded with a 95% increase in over-the-counter at-home HIV testing. And as you talked about, they called it the Charlie Sheen effect. Commentators noting Charlie Sheen did more for HIV education than most UN events do. How does that make you feel?
Strangely proud, but inspired. But then there's the reality slap of, dude,
yeah,
you got this too. You know
what
I mean?
I feel like
it's hard to. I suppose it's a social victory. You know?
Yeah.
It's still hard to jump up and down about stuff like that.
Well, let me just say what I feel like a lot of people want me to ask you or want to say is, how are you doing? Because I think
really
millions of people are rooting for you, that you're 8 months sober, that you're, obviously healthy. You look great.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
And are such a brilliant actor that I think we're all rooting for in the next act.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I am game ready right now. I just need the right gig, you know. And I'm getting offered stuff, but it's not anything that if I read something, it's got to be something that I want to watch as an audience.
Yeah.
Forget being in it. If I'm excited to watch it and I get a chance to be in it, then that's a win.
You know? Talked about a certain period. You said studios won't hire you, even though they've screwed the same whores.
Is that a quote?
Yet they pull you aside to party, and you're their hero for things they do. I mean, obviously, Robert Downey Jr. has been through this path. What do you feel like your path back is? Because, you know, to me, they should be flocking to you.
Oh, you're very kind. Thank you. I think patience is key. You know, I think health is key. You know, you don't see me on a straight to video film every month, like you're seeing a lot of guys kind of on this merry-go-round. You know,
maybe you could be the next Iron Man when Robert Downey Jr. retires.
There you go.
Hey, you know, wow. And Downey wasn't even the first choice. You know,
oh my God! You've also gotten famous for that—the parts that you've lost or may have lost or turned down. I mean, you've obviously done amazing parts, but you've been up for everything.
Yeah.
Right. I mean.
Yeah. No. There was a time when I didn't do White Man Can't Jump, and then there was a time when I didn't do Indecent Proposal, and my friends were saying, you know, Woody Harrelson should send you a bottle of booze and thank you for his career. And he's
like, no, not booze. No booze.
He's a stone cold genius, you know?
Yeah.
He's a stone cold genius. There's some guys, and he's one of them, that you know you're going to learn something about them or yourself or the world or something cool when you watch them perform.
Yeah.
You know? And I know he gets celebrated a lot and gets amazing roles, but I'm not sure he's considered as brilliant as he needs to be.
Yeah. You said a great thing. There's a lot of great things you've said. You said, I don't think it's wise to dwell on regret. There's regret, sure, but whatever you've done, good or bad, it's a part of who you are now. That's the thing you can change and improve. And you tell me this all the time. I mean, I think a lot of us, like, you know, somebody was like, you know, my brain, go to sleep, my subconscious, review every stupid decision you've made in your life. My brain. Okay.
Oh, I get that. I get that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but I call them shame shivers.
Yes.
I'll just be in my car driving along. Everything's great. You know, everybody's happy to, you know, hear from me or see me or whatever. And then suddenly there's this flash image.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
How did that happen? What was I thinking? Who the hell was that?
I'm reading the 1998 episode. It says Sheen suffered a stroke after overdosing while using cocaine, was hospitalized.
I stroke smoke.
All right, whatever. Your stomach was pumped, but you're back.
I got some charcoal. But I was never, I never totally passed out.
Right.
I was out at the hospital once they shot me up with, you know, a strong dose of Percet, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Valium, whatever.
I don't know. You've said so many things that just resonated with me. You said, clearly, there's in my journey, there's been mornings, moments after where I received better news, put it that way. I made a decision not to get buried in the sorrow or the anger behind it, but to accept it and to embrace whatever the technology medicine was that was available to get through that initial phase. It's also a wake-up call to really focus on my health, to give yourself the best shot to get through it. And as I was saying, when I went to meet you, I'm like, I didn't know what to expect. I was like, he's the nicest guy. You were so gracious.
Thank you.
Like the rest of your family, you know, you're, and I feel like there's so many of us rooting for the next chapter in your brilliance as
That's
an
awesome.
Actor, you know?
It's awesome to hear. Yeah, and I'm not going to disappoint.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get an amazing, you know, some fabulous opportunity and just, you know, and shit the bed with it. I'm not going to do that.
You heard him, everybody. You heard him. Charlie Sheen is not going to shit the bed, Hollywood.
Let's do this.
All right. Now, the other thing I have to ask you, because I wanted to save, you know, the fighting till the end so we can have hot makeup sex. Yes?
Wait, are you going where I'm going to go?
What?
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Oh, jeez.
There's also become nearly irrelevant. So,
he's been banned from a few platforms past few weeks, hasn't he? Wow.
Just a week on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Did Oliver Stone implant this conspiracy stuff in you when you were doing Platoon
Oliver wasn't deep into it at the time.
Okay.
But then he comes out with JFK.
Yes.
You know, which is pretty amazing.
No,
film.
I get that.
Yeah.
But the 9/11 stuff.
Yeah, I've rethought a lot of that.
All right.
I mean, there's still a couple holes you could, you know, fly.
I always
through.
Say incredible incompetence, but okay, all right, I got it. But so how do you feel about Alex Jones now?
Oh, I don't wish him any ill will. In the times I've spent with him, we had nothing but amazing conversations. Were you in
an unaltered state like now, or
no? We were. We just had a few beers together. Alex and I have never been sideways together.
Okay.
He doesn't even go there. He's very straight laced. No, but I it's hard to speak ill of him because. Just my personal experience with him, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's just the whole stalking parents of kids that were shot in Sandy Hook and
that's
calling them crisis actors. And
I know.
It's just I
can't put my mind around that. No.
Run that whole thing. He's really crossed into period. You know. Anyway.
Yeah. He's gone deeper into other areas that I would never support in this lifetime.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, all right. See, it's all going to end. Tell us about Sheenius.
Sheenius, yes.
Which is a Sheenius name for your new...
Thank you. I've been in the weed game for a while without my permission. They just started naming things after me and strains and...
You're like, daddy's got to get some sugar from this.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. There's Charlie Sheen named... flower, as they call it, you know.
Right.
And
so it's a new THC vape line, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And
you said life's missing ingredient has arrived.
How about that? That was in a tweet, wasn't it?
Yeah, an Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
No,
I just figured that if I'm already ingrained in the game in that business, then why not join it full force, you know?
So yeah.
a couple buddies of mine that do this, that are involved in dispensaries and all of that, they said, "Hey, let's do a vape line."
How do we find it? Where is it?
We are literally days from launching.
Okay,
we're supposed to launch tomorrow, but it's going to be like another week or 10 days.
We'll know when this is dropping,
oh, yeah,
but it's
yeah,
soon. It's very soon.
Yeah.
We'll find it. So we'll let you know how to find it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna do some press appearances at the dispensaries that we do the initial launches at. It's kind of a grassroots movement.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to start small and grow from there.
So now wait, do you use it? Because
I don't.
Okay. Cause I thought like that's not in being sober, is it? Cause I don't.
I mean, in some people's minds it is.
Yeah.
Some people are like, I'm totally sober. I just
smoke. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All day long. But to each his own, you know, I'm not here to judge.
Yeah.
No, I can't really do it because it's too strong.
Yeah.
And ours in particular is built in a lab that it's so clean, it's so pure.
Yeah.
I'm afraid if I give it a go that I'm just not going to come back, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus the hangover from stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I had a CBD popsicle the other night. And woke up like I'd smoked a Xanax, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think people smoke Xanax, do they?
Here's what I want to say.
They could, yeah.
I didn't even know you could do that. I just want to say, again, my lesson in this has been for people all around that don't believe the tabloid shit. You know,
Thank
because
you.
People create tabloid cartoons of people.
They do.
That, you know, trust me, when I told friends I was going to your house, I was like, I'm gonna order the Tiger Bloody Mary.
Which was actually, which was at a party several years ago. So you weren't totally wrong.
Of course.
You weren't totally wrong, yeah.
But, you know, again, I just thought, like, that's something that is so sort of missing, at least to me in this administration, is just sort of any kind of empathy on anything, on the opioid crisis, on... You know, and I think that the way you've dealt so honestly with your addiction struggles and all of that, and again, to sort of meet the human being and go, oh, this is a really nice person that's really doing the best he can and is struggling to stay sober and wants to work again and is a brilliant actor. And you know, to just not sort of, because we all kind of are prone to the jokes, about not just you, people, just
sure.
people.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it
And but those make, jokes are always easy grabs.
Yeah.
They're easy grabs.
Yeah. You know? I mean, look at Omarosa. Now she's a fucking... She's a goddamn American hero. That goddamn Omarosa.
And also, you know, people say, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, other people's behavior that might have grabbed a headline. And I always say, I can't comment on it because I wasn't there.
Right.
I wasn't in the room when it happened.
Right.
Which I think is a good place to come
but
from.
I mean, you echo millions of people that have had these same struggles with addiction. You've just lived yours, you know, times 10 in the, you know, Klieg lights and the magnifying glass that you know, anybody could go like, you know, there, but for the grace of God, go I. And I think that, honestly, that was what I took from meeting you is not just you are as nice and as kind and as gracious as your mom and your dad and your brother, but that, you know, you're a human being that has had your own past. Like in any family, your path has been different. Do people ask you? I don't even remember the answer to why you took Sheen and Emilio took Estevez, and how do you just decided to go with Sheen instead of Estevez? Like, what was that whole thing about?
Well, because Emilio started before I did professionally, and he had already gone with Estevez.
Yeah.
And so I thought somebody should carry the name on after Dad is retired or gone, or
yeah,
both, you know?
Yeah.
And I just started with it, you
yeah
know, and it wasn't...
Yeah.
If you ever
want to go into like local news anchoring, I think you should go back to Carlos Estevez.
Totally.
And
yeah,
then hop up your accent.
That was my credit in Machete and introducing Carlos Estevez. That's kind of cool.
Charlie, I know millions of people, including me, rooting for you. Love you.
Thank you.
So happy to meet you as a human. And just keep fighting the good fight, man. Thanks for saving all the lives you've saved. Thanks for... speaking your truth, because I think it will empower other people to do that. And honestly, a thrill and an honor to meet you.
Likewise.
Yeah. Come back anytime. I'm your special adopted sister.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charles.